Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 through 12. Let's say amen when we get there, please.
Amen.
All right, that's enough there, so I think it's good to get started. The Bible reads, "Now these things occurred as an example, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolatrous, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by the snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angels. These things happen to them as an example, and were written down as a warning for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Now, I like to use as a topic for my message this morning is take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you fall. The New International Version says, "Be careful that you don't fall." We have to be careful as Christians that we don't fall from the grace of God. You know, many people have fallen. I actually came up and I asked Stoke, I whispered in his ear for him to sing that song because it correlates to what I'm preaching on this morning. And as we were singing, that so many people have fallen by the wayside. Many people have fallen. So Paul warns us in a text. He says, "Take heed, lest you will fall." You see, the Lord never promised us that being a Christian will be easy.
Right.
He never promises that. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks just the opposite of that. He never says that once you have surrendered your life to Christ, then everything is going to be easy. You see, Jesus came not just to give eternal life to those who believe in him, but to give us a life here on earth that is fuller, more abundant life. You see, I believe that our life on earth as a Christian should be and is a life that is a full of hope, a life that is full of joy, a life that is full of peace and love and richness and fulfillment. That's how our life is, should be here on earth. Now, in this confusing world, there's a great assurance in knowing that our life is founded on the eternal truths of God. There's also great assurance in knowing that with God's help, we can overcome, or we can be overcomers more than conquerors. But that doesn't mean that the Christian life is easy, church. It means that it's possible and it's worth the effort, but it doesn't mean that being a Christian and walking with God is an easy thing. Matter of fact, many scriptures tells us that it can be hard being a child of God. Jesus himself says in John 16 and 33, Jesus says that in this world that you're going to have trouble. He warns us that as we live in this world, it is going to be hard and there's going to be some trouble.
Right.
But he also mentioned in that same text, he says, "But take heart that I have overcome the world."
Right.
That's encouraging words. So even though it's going to be hard and our walk with Christ may be hard and difficult at some times, we know one thing, that we can overcome the world. That we got somebody on our side who can help us. Jesus also says that, we can expect persecution in Matthew chapter 5 and 11. He also says in John 15 and 18, he tells us that the world is going to hate you just because you're a Christian. Expect that some people are not going to like you just because you're following Jesus.
Right.
He also says in Luke 14 and 25, he told us to count the cost of following him. What he's saying is, as a sacrifice in following Jesus, it's not going to be easy. And then he tells us in Luke 14, right around verse 33, he says that any of you who desires, any of you who does not give up everything he has, cannot be my disciple. See, in order to be a child of God, you got to give up some things that you like to do, people that you like to hang with. You got to have to give some of these things up. He says, unless you give up these things, you can't be my disciple. So where are you going at with this, Brother Ivory? Take heed, lest you fall. It's not easy being a Christian. A Christian. It can be difficult sometimes. You see, why it's so difficult? It's because the devil is busy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Man. You see, the devil is looking to trap you up, to get you, to catch you slipping. The devil want to get all of us in here slipping. And he's looking around to see who he can catch. The devil is busy, church. So take heed that you don't fall off. Be careful that you don't fall. And the Bible also gives us some scriptures. It gives us some scriptures about falling and making sure that you don't fall. In Hebrews chapter 3, right around verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Y'all see that? In the text, he's saying that sometimes, even if you're a child of God, the devil can get you. And you can have that sinful, unbelieving heart. And then what happens is you turn away from God. You stop living the way you should. But then in verse 13, it says, "But encourage one another daily." Right. God wants us to encourage each other to keep going. Don't talk about people who fall off, but encourage them to do what is right. He says, "Encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first." See, once you become a child of God, it doesn't stop there.
Right.
The Bible says that we have to hold firmly to the truth.
Right.
That means we have to keep walking with God. We have to keep talking and believing in Him. We have to sin, as we was talking this morning, less. You know, sin has to be less and less in our lives. But we got to be aware that even though you may be a child of God this morning, you have to be careful that you don't fall. You can fall away. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, right around verse 26, the word of God says, "For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, then there is no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins." What are the author saying here? He's saying that we willfully sin. You know, sometimes we just do it anyway. We know it's wrong. You know the thing that you're doing is wrong, but you do it anyway, and you continue into sin. The Bible says that if you're sinning that way, willfully sinning, he says that there's no sacrifice for you. Even though Jesus died on the cross and sacrificed himself for all of us, it won't be for you because you're willfully sinning. See, we don't have to keep sinning. If you're a child of God, you don't have to remain in sin forever. Of course, we're human, and there's going to be time when we slip and fall. But once you become a child of God, you're dead to sin.
Man.
Romans 6 and 1 through 4 tell us that we die to sin. We left it there behind us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the sermon. But be careful, church. Be careful, unless you may fall. You may fall off. You may know someone who was once a child of God, and they fell off because of sin. And let me tell you, the danger of sin is that once it gets you trapped, it's hard to come back, right? Boy, it gets you just keep going the opposite direction. And the devil wants that. He wants to catch you up and to keep you right there. So be careful, church, that you don't sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you go back there, wow, text. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right around verse 1 is where I'm going to start. In this text, Paul used the children of Israel as an example of spiritual immaturity shown in their overconfidence and lack of self-discipline. He used them as an example for us that we may not do what they did back then. See, God loves us. And he wants all of us to be saved. So he gives us stuff like this in the Bible for us to read and follow. So this is here for an example that we won't fall and slip and do the same thing that they've done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in a cloud in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink."
Right.
"For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ.
Right.
Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Paul is simply saying that all of them were people of God. They all had the same thing. We all people of God. We Christians, those who've been baptized. So we all have Christ to in us to live right. But everybody not going to do that is basically what he's saying. And so God wasn't pleased with some of them. And then in verse 6 he says, now these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Now Paul is saying that these are the things that they did back then. And this is an example that we don't slip up and do some of the same. That we have no excuse. Because it's written here, and it's showing us that we don't make the same mistakes. What are some of the things that they done back there? What the Bible tells us. The Bible says, do not be adulterous, as some of them were, as it is written. Now, one of the mistakes they made, now these were people of God. They worshiped God at one time, but they slip into sin. Adultery is a sin. And what that is there was worshiping images. They made these statues and things of God, and they worshiped them, and that was their God. Now, you're probably saying, well, that's not me. I'm not going to do anything like that. Well, adultery today is a little different. It means the same, but we don't worship statues and images. But anything that you put before God is your God. Am I right about it? It could be Facebook. You know, some of you can't get off Facebook. You spend more time on Facebook than you do worshiping God or reading your scriptures. It can be your career. And nothing wrong with having a career, and it's important for all of us to have a career and be successful. But if that is more important to you than your relationship with God, then you are an adulterer. Whatever it may be. It can be your car. It can be your husband, your wife, your boo, your honey. See, sometimes we take things of this world and we make it more important than God. They did it back then. So God is warning you to be careful that you don't make the same mistake that they did.
Amen.
Let's see what else they did. The Bible says the people sat down to eat and drink and got indulged in pagan reverie. Reverie is party.
Oh, right.
Y'all know we live in a party city, huh? And when people come to New Orleans, they come here to do what? To party. Look at y'all. Y'all ready? All right. They live in a party city. But the people back then, they wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to party. And partying can cause you to sin. Be careful. Those of you who still have that in you and want to party and have a good time. What else he says? He says, be careful. He says, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. Now, a lot of them slipped into sin because they were involved in sexual immorality. Now, what is sexual immorality? Well, any sexual sin can be defined underneath that. It can be homosexuality. It can be sex before marriage.
Right.
Amen, Walls. And it can also be adultery.
Right.
Am I right about it?
All right.
God tells us to be careful that we don't see the children of Israel fell into that kind of, they slip back into that kind of sin. And since we know today that it's sinful and it can hurt us, we need to watch their examples and not do the same things that they did.
Right.
And let me tell you, it doesn't matter who you are. You can fall into sin. I don't care where you at and how long you've been in the church. You can slip and fall.
Amen.
Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Leaders slip and fall. Some of the leaders, you can be a leader preaching into. You can still slip and fall. Let me show you an example. Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 11. We're going to see the fall of David. You may be familiar with David's story. In 2 Samuel, right around verse 1. Let's look at this for a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1, and this is the fall of David. This was the king. He was the man. He had everything. You would think he had no reason to sin. Matter of fact, the Bible considered David a man after God's own heart. And if you read even before David sinned, God was with David. He blessed David in everything he did. He showed David success. You know, even though God may be blessing you and with you, you're still able to slip in sin. You can have everything that God has blessed you with, and you can be like David. You can still slip and mess up. And that's exactly what David did. And 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says that in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David David, oh David. David remained in Jerusalem. You know, that's the first problem right there, that David stayed in Jerusalem. You see, this took place in the spring. And in the spring, kings went off to war. But David remained at Jerusalem while everybody else went out to fight. You see, one of the reasons why the children of Israel, the Israelites, asked for a king from the first place is because they wanted someone to lead them in battle. But David stayed and he didn't go to war. See, what we discover here is that one of the reasons that we get caught up in sin is because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Remember right about it? A lot of times, instead of being where you're supposed to be, you're out somewhere where you shouldn't. Say amen. Y'all know what I'm saying is true. Instead of being at work, you're out creeping somewhere. Am I right? Y'all heard that song by TLC, "So I Creep"? Creeping up. Y'all know what I'm... But you're somewhere where you shouldn't be. A lot of times, when you're in a bad place or you're out too late at night, you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. David was in the wrong place. He should have went out to war and been fighting, but David stayed there. And then sin come at him. And then listen to what the Bible says. One evening, David got up. He got up from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the palace. And from that roof, he saw this woman, a beautiful woman, the Bible says. And David said he saw this beautiful woman. Right. Now, some of the sisters might can't relate to this, but I'm sure the brothers can. Imagine if you were King David. You walked out there and you can have anything that you want. It wasn't that. He was the king. He's not like you and I. He can have anything he want. He walked out there and he saw this beautiful woman. Now, I'm sure he looked. And he probably looked again. Now, he should have went inside, amen? But the king stayed out there, and he looked some more. And before you know it, he sent for her, because he can have her. But instead of running from that temptation, he sent for her. And you know the rest is history. We know what went on from there. But David failed, is what I'm trying to say. David was the king, the man. God was with him. And you would think out of anybody who would be faithful and remain faithful, then it would be King David. But David didn't. He failed. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to be careful. Lest you fall. Be careful. Lest you fall. Now, the question on the floor this morning is, how can you take heed? How can you keep from falling? How can I do it, Brother Ivory? There's so much temptation out there in the world today. How can I keep from falling? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to give you three things. Three things, and I'm sure there's more. But I want to give you three ways to help you keep from falling. And the first one, Paul tells us. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Paul says, but I discipline my body and I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself may not be disqualified. Right. The first thing you can do to keep from falling is discipline, self-discipline. We talked about that a little bit in Bible study this morning. In order to walk with Christ and to be a child of God, there has to be some discipline in your life. Right. You know, discipline separates successful people from unsuccessful people. If you want to be successful in life, then it requires discipline. You know, people with discipline do things that people who don't have discipline don't want to do.
Right.
You know, you stay up late, you study, you work harder, but you have to have discipline. You have to have a disciplined life. Discipline and study. How often do you read your Bible? Most of you don't read because you don't discipline yourself to read. Instead, you're going to go home and you're going to watch Empire. Am I right about it? Instead of studying the Word, you're going to put on Empire or one of these reality shows instead. But God wants you to have discipline. We have to be disciplined in our worship. Look at us this morning. We look like we have a special program going on. So many people are here. But we're here one Sunday and go on another. Even coming to church required discipline at first. But see, once you get in the habit of coming, there's no more discipline needed because you want to come and worship God. But at first, it requires discipline to come and worship God on Sundays and on Wednesdays and every time the church meets. But if you want to be faithful to God, you gotta commit yourself to discipline. And let me tell you this. Discipline just don't come. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Check it out for yourself. In Galatians chapter 5 and 22, the Bible says that once we're baptized into Christ, we receive this gift. That gift is the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is discipline. It can can help you do the things that you think you can't do. If you want to take heed that you don't fall, then it requires self-discipline. Let me give you another one. The next thing that you need to do to keep from falling is that we need to put on the whole armor of God. What are kids at here? Y'all know that, huh? I don't even have to talk about the armor of God. I can have one of the kids come up and preach on that. And I'm joking. We had a program last Saturday, and the title was The Armor of God. And so the kids are very familiar with it, but maybe some of you not. If you're not, then go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, right around verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, right around verse 14, excuse me. Ephesians 6 and 14. If you want to be a faithful member of Christ, the body of Christ, if you want to keep from falling, then you have to have discipline in your life, and you have to be able to put on the whole armor of God. What is that armor? The first piece that you need to have is the belt, and that is the belt of truth. You see, Satan's going to fight us with lies, and sometimes his lies is going to sound like the truth. Anybody ever lied to you and it sounds so good? It sounds like the truth. You know, that's happening in the religious world today. Matter of fact, the first fall in the world today, when Eve listened to Satan, the Satan told her that if you eat off this fruit, you will not surely die. So Satan just twisted it a little bit. He twisted the truth. But if you're wearing that belt of truth, then you can hold on to God's word. So the first armor we need to put on is the belt of truth. And the next piece we need to wear is the breastplate of righteousness. Now what that is Satan often attacks our hearts. That's where he want to get you. He want to get you here. He attacks our hearts, the seat of our emotions, our self-worth, our trust. Satan don't want us trusting in God. Sometimes, especially when things are getting real bad, you stop believing in God. You stop trusting in God. That's your heart. And Satan is leading you that way. No matter how bad things get, continue to trust in God. And how you do that is if you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness. You see, God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects your heart. So we have to have that on as well. And then the next thing is your foot gear. And I'm not talking about no Jordans. I was at the fair yesterday, boy, all the young brothers and sisters was running around with Jordans. That's not the foot gear that the Bible is talking about today. The foot gear is the gear to spread the word of God. You know, Satan wants you to think that teaching others about the word of God is useless. How many of you tell others about the good news of salvation? Most of you don't, because you feel you're wasting your time. They're not going to listen to me anyway, because Satan wants you to think that way. But put on that foot gear for God, because the foot gear God gives us helps to motivate us and keep us preaching and teaching to others. And then the other piece we need to wear is the shield of faith. What we see are Satan attacks in forms of insults, setbacks, and temptation. Anybody going through some problems right now? Something really bad? Y'all probably, brother, we all are. We all are facing. That's Satan. He wants you to go through some tough things. He's going to allow some setbacks in your life. Some temptation, some bad things is going to happen to you. But the shield of faith protects us from Satan. You got to have that faith on. You got to have that faith that whatever comes your life, you can take it. I don't care what you throw at me, Satan. I have the shield of faith on, and I can take it. And I'm going to stick with Christ. And then the next thing we need to wear is a helmet. The helmet of salvation. You see, the devil wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. You know, sometimes we forget why we're here. We forget that there's a better place waiting for us. You see, that's why we should be living, to get to that better place. Many of you are just worried about here and now instead of the thereafter. Satan wants you to think about here and now, but God wants you to think about the thereafter. So you need to put on that helmet this morning, because that helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving grace. And then the final thing you you need to have is the sword. And the sword is the only offensive weapon. Yes. What is the sword? The sword is right here. Everybody who have a word of God this morning, raise your Bible up. That's your sword. All of us need to have the sword this morning. You see, the sword is used to fight the devil off. You need that sword. The sword is the word of God, the word of truth. You need to carry it around with you everywhere you go. I often tell y'all about power scriptures that I have, the combat statement. Matter of fact, Jesus had some too. Read Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 and the first like 16 verses. And when you read those verses, you're going to see that Satan attacked Jesus. And Jesus attacked back with the sword. He quoted scriptures to him. And then after, the Bible says what Satan did, he left him. So the third thing we need to do, we first have to have self-discipline. We have to put on the whole armor of God. And the third thing is this, is we need to simply resist the devil. James says in James 4 and 7, to submit then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The way to resist the devil is first to submit to God. Some of you, maybe you're not a Christian and sin got you trapped. That's because you never submitted to God. First submit to God. Submitting means that I'm going to follow God's will. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Submit then to God. And then the next thing, you have to resist Satan. Jesus resists Satan. And after he resists Satan, if you read in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Satan left him. You want to get Satan off your back? I know he's on some of our backs this morning, right? You can't get him off your back. Satan is hounding you. You got to resist him. And that's a way to get him off of your back. So the three things, again, to keep from falling is to have self-control, put on the whole armor of God, and resist the devil. These things, along with a lot of others, would help you, keep you from falling. It'll help you in these tough times. It's not easy being a Christian, so we need to know how to combat Satan. And as I wrap this lesson up, if you're here this morning, and maybe, just maybe you're a Christian and you've been doing well, but you're falling. You have sinned in your life. You know that you've been doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And you fell away from the grace of God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You never became a Christian. You've been living in sin all your life. Well, I stopped by Crescent City to tell you that there's hope. That there's good news. The Bible says in a book of Proverbs that as long as you live, there's a hope. See, since we're alive this morning, there's hope. The Bible says that God is the judge of the living and the dead. But fortunate for us that we are still alive. And since we're still alive, we're able to change our life around. We're able to do what is right. The Word of God also says that God is long-suffering. And he don't want any of us to perish. He know that sometimes we may slip and fall. Sometimes there's going to be sin in our lives. But let me tell you the good thing about God. Because God is so graceful and so merciful that he will forgive you and he'll give you another chance. Am I right about it? Right. Y'all quiet on me now. But God will forgive you. All of us need forgiveness at some time in our lives. God will forgive you and he'll give you another chance and then he will restore you. He will restore you back to where you used to be. Some people won't, but God will. Right. He restored David. Let's go back to David's story and I'm going to end it right there. If we go back to David's story in 2 Samuel, it's in chapter 12. Listen to how his story ends. Now we know, I don't have time to go over all of it, but we know that David got caught up. Not only did he commit adultery, but he committed murder as well. Amen. In my opinion, two of the top sins that you can do. David the king, the man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder. So nobody would want to follow David after something like that. But guess what? God restored him. Listen to it. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, right around verse 1. First, I need to explain this. David sinned, and it was about a year after. Sometimes we sin, and because God doesn't make us pay the consequences right away, you feel you got away with it, right? Well, I got away with this. Whew. Well, she didn't find out about that. He didn't find out. But that's not the case all the time. Right. David may have thought he got away. But here almost a year later, God sent Nathan to David. And listen to what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, now he tell him a story. He says, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb that he had bought. He raised it up. He grew it up with his children. He shared his food and drank with his sheep. He slept with it in his arms, like his daughter. Now, a traveler came by to the rich man. A man came and visited the rich man. But the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for this traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man. So y'all understand what's going on in the text? This is a rich man. Somebody came to visit him. And it was accustomed to make them a meal. And instead of taking one of his sheep, he went to poor Brother Stoker's sheep. He only had one. He took this poor man's sheep that he loved and he slept with. And so listen to what David said. David burned in anger. Oh, that man said, and David said, the Bible said, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lived, the man who did this deserved to die. He must pay for the lamb four times because he did such a thing. You know, sometimes we're so busy looking at the specs in other people's eyes, the things that they do wrong, that we don't look at it outside. David could see what this guy did wrong, but he forgot the sin that is in his heart. We all sin. That's why it's able to forgive others, because you've got some sin in your life as well. David was looking at what this guy did, and he didn't realize that all the while that he was talking about it. Y'all familiar with this story? And then Nathan said to David, you are that man. He said, this is what the Lord God of Israel said. I anointed you king of Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master house to you, your master wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. What is that? I gave you everything. How could David fall? God gave him everything that he wanted. How could one of your leaders fall? How could people in the church fall? We ask. It can happen to anybody. Nathan said, God gave you all this, and yet let you still fail. He had that beautiful woman. He couldn't say no, I guess. And he still failed. And the Bible says in verse 9, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in the eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and the wife to be, and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword. Now you see, David not only committed adultery, he killed the man's wife. And then he took his wife to be his own wife. So, of course, God was mad with him. He sinned. He wasn't pleased with him. And then he told him there would be some consequences. I'm coming to a close. One thing we don't want to face is consequences. We'll do the sin, but we don't want to face the consequences. Sometimes there can be consequences, sometimes not. God can judge that. See, sometimes God will make us go through some things because of our sin. And sometimes he may not. But let God be the but judge of that. But David had to face some consequences. And the Bible says, now therefore in verse 10, the sword would never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah to be your own. This is what the Lord says, out of your own house. And then he's telling them some of the bad things that's going to happen. But listen to what David says in verse 13, and I'm closing. David says to Nathan, I have sinned against God. That's all he said. He didn't try to make excuse.
Right.
He didn't, well, you know, she shouldn't have been out there that way. She out there that way. I'm a man. I'm going to do that. He didn't say none of that. David said, I've sinned against God. He took responsibility. If you're in sin this morning, if you maybe have fallen from God's grace, take responsibility. Let the God know that I've sinned against God. And listen to what God would do for you. What he did for David, he'll do the same for you. The Bible says, he said, I sinned against God. Then Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sins. You're not going to die. That's what God would tell you. The Lord has forgave him. You see, back then when you commit adultery, you should be killed. You should be stoned to death. But the Bible said that God forgave him. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have to face the consequences. He still had to go through some tough times. But God forgave him. God restored him. David still was a king. God didn't set him down. God continued to use him as a king because he forgave him. And he gave him another. That's the glory. That's the good thing about God. If you're here this morning, and maybe you fell from God's grace because of sin in your life, until you can honestly admit like David did that God has sinned, and don't make excuses, God will forgive you and give you another child. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've been living any kind of way you want to live. Admit to God that he's right and you're wrong.
and God will forgive you and give you another shot. And then listen to what he says. And then David could live. You and I can live too. And I'm talking about spiritually, not physically. God will forgive you, and then you'll be able to have spiritual life. This morning, make the decision. If you're here and you're falling from God's grace, get back in his grace this morning by admitting your sins, asking God to forgive you, and trying to live right for God. And God will restore you. Sometimes folks won't. Sometimes people are going to hold this against you forever. Don't worry about them. You worry about your relationship with God. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 17 that when God forgives you of your sins, he don't remember it no more. He's not going to keep bringing it up. He's going to put it behind him. But you got to be truly sorry from the heart. Amen. And when you're sorry from the heart, then it's going to show in the way you live and the things you do. You're not going to continue in that sin. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Ask God. Ask God to forgive you the things in the way you used to live. And let him know you want to live for Christ this morning. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you can become a Christian. How we do that? By hearing this word. Romans 10 and 17. By believing it. Hebrews 11 and 6. By repenting of your sins this morning. Be honest like David. Luke 13 and 3. The Bible says if you don't do it, you're all likewise perish. And by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he can save your souls, and finally being baptized, we'll baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says when you're baptized into Christ, that the life you lived before, you'll be dead till you rise up a new person. And then the Spirit of God will live in you. Don't quench that Spirit. Let it live in you and manifest in you so you can live right and you can do right. And then the Bible says that if we're faithful until the day we die, then all of us will be in heaven together. We can get there. Just like we're sitting in here together, we can be in heaven together as well. It's a decision that we make to choose God over the world. Make the right decision this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.